Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hello.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com and be sure to tell us where you're from. And everything we talk about in the show, we link to. And you can find those links in the show notes by going to verypink.com and clicking the podcast tab at the top of the page. Mm-hmm. Ta-da! I did it all. The housekeeping.
Don't forget to leave us a review.
Leave us a review on iTunes. Rate and review us on iTunes.
And tell your friends.
We have to give them something to listen to first before they tell their friends. We can just do all housekeeping the whole time. Actually, we have knitting. This whole episode is chock full of knitting questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Chock we can get started.
All right. Let's go. And
wait. Do you have anything you want to say before we get started? You're just ready to get started.
I'm ready.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. No questions or suggestions, just a very big thank you for helping me truly enjoy knitting. I wish you both a very happy rest of the year and continued success and creativity in 2017. Fern from Montgomery, Alabama.
That's our first question.
Our first non-question,
just being nice to us. Wow, thank you, Fern.
That was nice. Here's a real question.
Okay.
Hi, Stacey and Casey. I love your podcast. I recently found it and started at the beginning, so I have some catching up to do. So if you've already answered this, I'll hear it soon. In one of the first episodes, you talked about when you weave in your ends after blocking on a sweater and before blocking for a shawl. Can you please explain why? Is there a difference or is it a preference? Shanna from San Jose, California.
Hi, Shanna. I think you might have it backwards. I don't think I would ever say that. I would always...
Yeah.
I would weave in ends on a shawl after the fact, because if you're knitting a shawl and it has any lace in it or anything, it's all a crumpled up mess and it's going to stretch out a lot when you block it. Mm-hmm. Whereas a sweater, if it's stockinette, it isn't going to change much in size. Mm-hmm. So I think you've got it backwards. The reason I wait to block weave in ends on something that's going to stretch out a lot is you weave in the end, it's kind of fixed. It might not stretch with the rest of the fabric. Mm-hmm. So that's why. Does that make sense what I just said? Because
yeah. I think it's backwards.
Did I used to do a lot of drugs? And
in the first episode?
The first two episodes, I was drunk all the time.
Yes.
No, I think it's backwards from the way that I normally do things. And yeah. I'm not losing my mind.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Next question. My question is, I was knitting a pair of socks in a variegated yarn and I got a knot in the middle of the sock. How do I cut the knot and tie the yarn again without messing up the variegation coloring too much? Thanks, Faith from St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada.
Okay. We're getting a lot of Canadian questions these last few weeks, aren't we? Okay. Faith, yes. She ran into a knot while she's knitting with this variegated yarn, and she wants the colors to pick up exactly as they were when she cuts this knot out. And that's not going to make much of a difference if you're using yarn that changes color every, couple of inches or something. But if you're using what I call long strand dyed, where you have, like a Noro yarn, where you have several feet of one color before it changes to the other color, and it gives... I suppose in socks it'd give you kind of a striped effect. You don't want to, it goes green, pink, blue, green, pink, blue. And you don't want it to go green, pink, chopped up right in the middle of pink, back to green, blue, when you have this easy thing going on. And the only way to fix that is to find what the pattern in your yarn is. If there are a lot of colors, you have to take notes, just write it down, and then... If you're cutting out a knot and it jumps abruptly into the middle of another color, you just have to find where you left off in the pattern and start knitting with it there. And it might mean that you throw away a bunch of yarn. You sound distressed about that.
I am. If I find a knot, I try to untie it with the ball.
Yeah, but if you have an abrupt color change, then it's not... You can take the knot out, of course, but it's the abrupt color change that our Canadian friend Faith wants to take care of.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. I'm Tamara from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
What?
More Canadians.
They're taking
the
over.
Canadian episode. We're moving up there anyway, so... We love your prime minister. Anyway.
He's the sexiest world leader.
He's so good looking.
He is.
Okay. I recently finished the Ardent shawl and I blocked it to a pattern dimension using blocking wires. I like the look of the blocked shawl except for one thing. The blocking wires left holes along some of the shawl edges and I'm not too keen on those. Is there a better way to block or is there a way to remove these holes? The shawl was knit in fingering weight using size six US needles. Thanks for your podcast and especially for all your helpful tutorial videos. I would not be knitting much beyond garter stitch scarves without them.
Well, that's nice. Hi, Tamara. And she wants to know if she's doing something wrong or something she can do to fix the holes that the blocking wires are using or are making in her work. I have a video coming out very soon on blocking wires, on using them. I think I set the schedule for how I'm releasing the videos and I wanted to be able to talk about them, but now I think I need to move them around again, so it's coming out soon. Maybe it came out last week. I'm not sure. I need to move things around, but it'll be available soon, depending on when you're listening to this. And blocking wires are a way to avoid having to use a million pins when you're blocking out lace, and the video goes into it more. But if you're getting a hole in your work and you don't like the way that it looks from the blocking wires, you can also always just apply some steam from the steam iron and without pressing down with the steam iron and just kind of pat it out and smooth it out and see if you can make it look better. It's you're not doing anything incorrectly. That's if it's pulling on one area more than the others, it's just kind of the nature of the piece that you've knit and the yarn overs and where they are. And, you know, it seems it to me as if you were to insert the blocking wires in a different part of the work, you'd have the same effect just in a different part of the work. So just after it's dry, after you block it, after it's dry, go back over those areas you don't like, apply some steam and just kind of pat them out. And I bet they'll look better.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Hey, girls. Hey, love your podcast and your Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. My question is, I absolutely love to knit hats, but I find that I can't wear any of them because they make my hair frizzy. I have curly hair, so I wanted to know if I knit a hat and end up lining the hat with smooth material, do I need to make the hat a little larger to account for the lining material? Usually after blocking a hat, the knitting does stretch a small amount, but that could vary from hat pattern and yarn to yarn. What do you think? Thanks so much, Nancy from Massachusetts.
Hi, Nancy. We're jealous of your curly hair, first of all. Well, I'm pretty sure she just wrote to us to brag about how her hair is curly.
We have no advice on hair.
We have no advice on curly hair. Our hair only goes straighter. That's all it does. But no, this question in more general terms, people ask me all the time, like, how do I line a knitted thing? And my answer is, I have no idea. I've never done it. Yeah. And I keep saying, I'm gonna learn. But until I learn, you can always just go to, like, what we have here, Stitch Lab, except for I think that closed.
Yeah, closed.
Any kind of sewing class place and lining something knitted and lining something not knitted are kind of the same thing, I think.
I think. I've lined.
Is that that's how you conjugate line?
That's funny. I've lined a felted bag, but it doesn't stretch after it's been felted.
But I think what I'm thinking now is it wouldn't be any different. Like what you've done, you have 100% experience. I have 0%. You should be answering this question. But I'm thinking that if a hat is really stretchy, the only thing you can do is line it with a stretchy fabric, mm-hmm. like a
like
jersey
a knit
or something. Yeah.
Her
hair is still going to be frizzy in a knit, though, isn't it? She needs like something.
I don't know what keeps your hair from being frizzy. So.
We have no idea how to keep hair from being frizzy. You just like grow it out of your head, not frizzy, and that's how it stays not frizzy. It's so humid today, and I know that every other person in Austin is complaining their hair is big and frizzy, and Casey and I, our hair just got straighter this morning.
I want that. I was straightening it. Yeah. I would, because I don't think you would want any kind of other fabric other than a stretchy knit in a hat.
But is there such a thing as a stretchy knit silky fabric that would make so that...
like a nylon, maybe.
Okay.
But I still think that would create like static cling in your hair.
Well, then you have to take a dryer sheet and rub it on the inside of the hat. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you could also... She could also just avoid the whole lining thing and maybe make some hats that don't sit on her hair as much, like a beret or a tam, yeah. Mm-hmm. And kind of sit. Then the only spot that's really hitting is, you know, around the band, the mm-hmm. forehead, and the crown of your head if it's not fitting as tightly. Because I don't have frizzy hair, but I can identify with hat hair for yeah. sure. And so a more fitted hat is going to mess my hair up worse than a looser hat.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And I wonder, and it would look cute with curly hair.
Everything looks cute with curly hair. I'm jealous. Nancy, I'm jealous. My mom told me when I was a kid, if I ate my bread crusts for my sandwiches, my hair would grow out curly.
You ate those crusts
I really wanted curly hair, and my hair, bread crusts do nothing. I mean, just tell you before you start, don't even bother.
Yeah.
They don't make your hair curly.
Yeah. I just spent some time with my high school friends, and we were laughing at our curls from, like, we had a picture of all of us from a dance and how curly. Like,
when is the, high school?
High school, because we had bangs and yep. big curly hair. Yep. And I was like, and I'm sure by the end of the night, all those curls were gone.
Totally straight. Yes. I know.
I had a perm.
Back in high school and college, I would curl my hair because I wanted those big curls too.
Yeah.
And then just use some Aquanet. Hairspray that would totally just freeze them in place like super glue. And so, I mean, there's...
Even still, Aquanet. I would Aquanet the crap out of my bangs and it would still fall.
You still... Do they even sell Aquanet anymore?
I think so. It's bad for the environment.
I know. Global warming is our fault from high school. We were spraying all that Aquanet.
All right.
Okay. That was a tangent. Let's keep moving.
All right. Hi, Stacey. My name is Amber, and I'm writing from Syracuse, New York, but originally from Canada.
I swear I did not arrange these questions like this.
I've been knitting for about 4 years, and the majority of my knowledge has come from watching your videos and listening to your podcasts. My mom's dad was actually a tailor, but surprisingly, she didn't grow up learning how to knit or sew. So, pun intended, I was left to fend for myself, and I'm so happy to have stumbled on your channel. My question for you today is this. I'm determined to knit my very own sweater dress, and I have picked out my pattern, bought my yarn, knitted my swatch, matched the needle gauge, and I'm struggling to decide on which size to follow. The pattern has a range of size options from 28 to 44 bust. I didn't notice until just now when I'm ready to cast on that the pattern says garment is meant to be worn with 2 to 3 inches of negative ease. This is the first time I've ever felt with a pattern that has negative ease, and I'm afraid of making the dress fit too tight so you can see through the stretch stitches. Does this mean the size I choose to follow would be before the negative ease or after? Thanks so much for your help, Amber L.
Amber, this question, it comes up all the time. And I have a video called The Finer Points of Garment Fitting, and that video will help you. But this is a big deal because she's knitting a whole dress mm-hmm. and she wants it to fit properly. And so the pattern says for size 38, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, is that supposed to be my size? Or is that supposed to be the dress size? Is that supposed to be the dress size with the 2 to 3 inches of negative ease? Like, she has no idea what these measurements mean. And I always try to make it really clear in my pattern that when you're picking a size, the measurements I give here are the chest or bust size of the human being, not the sweater. Here's what you can do. The video will explain more, but like the fastest, easiest thing you can do is flip to the last page of the pattern, the schematics page, and see what the bust measurements are on the actual finished garment. Those are the numbers that you can go with. So if you see that the size that they're calling medium is 36 inches, that is the actual sweater size. And so you want that to be 3 inches smaller than your size, human size. And then when it really comes down to it, if the pattern's confusing and it's not really clear what measurements are what, get in touch with the designer and definitely get some clear answers before you start knitting, because this is an entire dress. You don't want to have to rip this thing out several times because it's not just a tank top or something. This is a dress. Yeah.
You don't want a dress that's too tight.
No.
That would be it. I was just looking at the pattern that I just finished that had this similar situation, and I chose a bigger size, and then it's big, and it's fine, but I was like, I wonder if I should have gone down because of the positive ease.
Okay.
And I'm just looking to see what the instructions said, because I started it in November and I couldn't remember.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You would have knit a smaller size if you'd...
Even though it had a positive ease, I kind of like my sweaters a little snugger.
Right.
Snugger. More snug.
No, I think snugger's fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I would say more snug.
Okay. Sometimes it's easier if you're not sure just to say more something.
Or say something totally different.
Yes, just to use different words. That's why I never, I always avoid using the word drank. No, because I, like drank, drunk, drink, drunk. You uh-huh. never, I'm never
drank
really
water.
Sure. I had some water.
That's why in writing I forget, I avoid lay, lie.
Oh, please.
Those are the only
lane.
Ones.
Lane. Yeah. When do you ever even use lane?
I know.
Past tense.
Don't get me started.
English is hard. We're just lucky that it's our first language, so we didn't have to try to learn this later.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel sorry for people who try to learn this later. It's not our fault. We didn't make it this hard.
Okay, hello, girls. I'm often put off by stranded color work where more than one color is worked at once and others carried across the back of the work. Remembering to twist the yarns and all the following tangles are a problem to me. So here is my question. Is it possible to convert a stranded color work pattern into one that's a classic, that's classed as mosaic, so I'm only working a single color at a time? Many thanks for your time. Samantha from Cleeder in England. Cleeder rhymes with beater.
People are getting so nice about helping us with the pronunciation of things. Yeah. I think that's great. Samantha, she's asking if a Fair Isle pattern can be converted into a mosaic knitting pattern. And mosaic knitting is color work where you only have one color going per round at a time. And what is the name of the cowl that I put out a tutorial on this? I have a cowl tutorial that is mosaic knitting. Can you tell by the way that I'm talking that I'm actually trying to pull it up on the internet? Is it called Tesserino?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Tesserino cowl. We'll give a link to it in the show notes. That's mosaic knitting where you work one color at a time and you end up getting this cool color work pattern because some stitches are slipped and it's the action of... working every other round with a different, you know, changing colors every round and then slipping some stitches, it gives you this pattern. But no, you can't convert a Fair Isle pattern to this. Your mosaic knitting is very cool, but the patterns that you can actually create with it, the color work patterns, are pretty limited. Because with Fair Isle, you can have any color pop up anywhere in the work, any pattern changing anywhere. And mosaic knitting, you are limited to the stitches that you're slipping. It's somebody could probably get really creative and figure out how to do a lot of stuff with mosaic knitting. But in my experience with it, you're more limited than you are with Fair Isle.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. I've recently become interested in knitting fingerless gloves, and I'm curious if there's a standard practice as to when to start the increases for the thumb gusset in relation to a ribbed cuff. My first attempt was a total failure. After placing the gusset stitches on scrap yarn and knitting across the gap I tried it on, the bridge created at the gusset caused my ribbing to pull way up from my wrist. Thank you, Margie from Peoria, Arizona.
Hi, Margie. The best thing to do is to find a pattern that you like and trust the pattern. But then again, we all have different sized hands, so it's going to work out differently for different people. In the patterns that I've knit and in the patterns that I have designed for gloves, I always start the thumb gusset right at the spot between the wrist and the hand. You've just ended with the narrowest part of your wrist and it's going up into the hand. So the thumb gusset is something that's knit long, you know, the entire length of the hand up to the thumb. But, you know, different patterns can be different. They can have a different increase rate, and that would make it either necessary to be longer or shorter. You find a pattern that you like. Trust the designer. Don't try to wing it. That's where you're going to run into trouble. But if you find a pattern you like, you can always look at the other knits that people have made from this pattern and see what they say about how the thumb gusset fits. Or if you find yourself, you know, you're someone who has an especially long hands, long fingers, you can always knit a few rounds of stockinette before you start the thumb gusset so that it will be long. Well, it'll still fit okay, but it'll give you a little bit extra before the actual finger part of the thumb starts. If you're running into this a lot, I'm thinking that it might just be kind of a learning curve thing for you where you're going to have to maybe test a pattern out, see how it fits, make the changes that you want to make so that it is a perfect fit for you, and then just stick with those same changes every time you work a pair of gloves. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a nice thing about knitting is that we're actually creating the fabric. We're creating the fabric. There's nothing we can't do. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have to figure out what that thing is so that it fits you properly.
Right.
Okay. Maybe one more.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all.
That's nice. Is it another Texas person? No.
South Carolina.
Okay.
I'm loving the podcast with you ladies. I do have a quick question, if I may. I found myself getting into a habit, and I don't know if it's a problem or a genius. I found myself...
That's usually how most genius ideas start. Mm-hmm. Like, what have I done?
Yeah. I found myself weaving in ends as I go because the little hanging tails bug the crud out of me. Will this bite me in the tail eventually, or is this a harmless, weird habit? To explain, I've done several projects with stripes lately, and some of them have been fine to carry the yarn up as I go, but two of them have not. In those cases, if I carried the yarn along, it would change the appearance of the finished product. So I had to cut the yarn each time. Also, I've been a podcast junkie for a while and was curious if you thought of posting video feed of your podcast so that when you do use your hands, have a guest, etc., we can see too. Taylor from South Carolina.
Hi, Taylor. It is not a weird thing that you're weaving in ends as you go. It's something that I like to do too. I like my work to look as good as possible while I'm knitting it so that I'm excited about it. So that's, I weave in ends or I steam it out a little bit so I can see how it looks. Do you ever do that, mm-hmm. Case? You weave in ends as you go?
Sometimes.
When you know it's going to be this huge task at the end, you might take a half hour or so and do it for a while.
Yeah.
I'm not a total stickler about it, but yeah.
Sometimes, or like this sweater I just finished had a bunch of different colors all at one spot.
Right.
So there's a big jumble of yarn. I was like, let's get rid of that.
Let's clean this up. And her next question is...
Should we have a video of the podcast?
I've suggested this to Katie. I thought we could do...
Katie.
You know what? It's close to lunchtime. I do have a friend named Katie, and we've had a Facebook message going for the last couple of days. She's actually the breeder of Elby. And so that must be where I got it. Casey, I know your name. I know your name.
It happens to me all the time.
I don't usually mess up names. Anyway, I've talked to Casey about it, and I think you just flat out said no.
Did I? I never flat out say no to anything.
Okay. I was talking about doing a Facebook Live video of a podcast episode.
Have to plan ahead and wear makeup.
That's it. I can't surprise you with it. Like, hey, guess what?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that might be something that we do sometime.
Sure.
I'll have to clean up the shelf behind us before we do it.
We can do like a live podcast, take in your questions.
You're getting really ambitious here.
That's crazy.
No, we can't do that. Also, if we do that, you don't edit out a lot of what we say, do you? Okay, mm-hmm. You leave most everything in.
Just the cussing.
We don't cuss.
Okay.
It's the only time we ever cuss is when you say, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
And then
we just start talking.
And then I'm like
sailors.
Puppy! And go after the puppy and call him a bad word. No, we could do that. We could plan for that sometime.
Yeah.
You have a lot of summer stuff going on. We can maybe do that in the fall.
Yeah.
Everything's over.
I think we might have to glam up the podcast studio a little bit.
We'll glam up the podcast studio. Well, mostly I just need to clean these shelves.
Yeah.
We'll both wear makeup. We'll wear cute tops.
Yeah.
And, we can do that.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Taylor.
Yeah, thanks,
now
Taylor. And I'm totally stressed out about how we're going to I'm just kidding. Casey, if people want to find you online, what do they do?
My website is kcknits.com, the letter K and the letter C.
Okay. And if you want to find me online, there is, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. There's also verypink.com, and all my social media buttons are on the bottom of the homepage there. That is all we have for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.